Good morning. Our scripture text this morning is in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We're in this sermon series entitled Reboot. And we've talked two different spectrums, right, in the last couple weeks. The first spectrum was maybe some of you who feel like you don't need to reboot your life, but God still calls us to evaluate and to look inside of ourselves to see if maybe we do have areas that we need to get right with God. The other end of the spectrum, or maybe some of you who feel like you're not good enough to ever be good in God's eyes. And we talked last week about how God loves you the way you are and how God can take where you're at today and make you a new person. This morning, along that lines, we're going to have a conversation about this idea that God gives us second chances. And the suggestion I'm going to make is that God doesn't give us a second chance. Let's talk this morning about that as we start reading in verse 16 through 21. Paul writes to the Corinthians as he says that from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. And all this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us a ministry of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. And we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Let's pray. Our Father, as we open your word, we ask that by the power of your Holy Spirit, that our hearts may be opened as well, and our eyes, and our minds, as we seek to know you, as we seek to see you, and we believe in the power of your word and through your Spirit, that you speak boldly to our hearts, and we pray that this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. This sermon series was supposed to be named No Second Chances, Second Chances, the God of Second Chances. And as I was Googling different clip art that I might be able to use for this new sermon series, The God of Second Chances, I came across an article by Aaron Wilson that drastically changed my opinion about a God who gives second chances. And he got me thinking about this topic. He suggested that if you were to take a student who is in kindergarten, in my case, that's Charlie, he's 5 years old, he's in kindergarten. I'm really proud of Charlie. He's a little bit behind what his brother was at this point in reading and whatnot, but he's a little ahead of him in math. So they're very different. But they both did very well when they were in kindergarten. They have a wonderful teacher. Now, if I were to sit a student who's in kindergarten down at a desk, and I were to place a calculus test before that kindergarten student, how do you think he'd do? Well, if it was Charlie, even as good as he is in math, he's going to fail. Now, what if I took that test and I ripped it up, Sue, and I ripped it up, and I said, guess what, Charlie? I'm going to give you a second chance. And I put another calculus test in front of him. He's going to fail that one too. And the suggestion the author was making that I really keyed in on, and I want to take that article to the next level as we talk in this text. One of the big ideas is that God gives us more than just a second chance. If we just needed a second chance, we could do it ourselves. But the reality is that the only way for Charlie to ever pass a calculus test while in kindergarten is if either someone else takes the test for him or they drastically change what's on that test. Thanks be to God that someone else takes the test for us. Amen? Thanks be to God that Jesus Christ has taken that test for us. Amen? Let's take this to the next level. I want to suggest that this passage tells us something that we need more than a second chance. First, we need to be made anew. We need to be made new. Paul says that we will no longer look at others in the point of view that the world has to offer. He says, instead, if we are in Christ, we are new people, a new creation. The old is gone, the new is here. We need more than just an external change. I know I certainly need an external change, but I need more than that. I need an internal change as well. An internal change that would create new behavior. Internal change that creates the external behavior. That internal change that Christ offers us is a change of attitude. It's a change of our passions. It's a change of our desires. It's a new test. A new way of looking at how we live this life. Many of you are aware that right now there is a tax plan that's being presented to, I believe, the Senate at this point. The GOP tax plan is how it's being presented. I read an article this week in Wall Street Journal that suggested that because of the GOP tax plan, there will be a drastic reduction of donations to charitable organizations. Now, follow with me if you don't follow taxes and math and that kind of thing. Just try to hang on as we talk through this. The suggestion is that because the standard deduction has raised, that people won't itemize their charitable deductions. And if you don't itemize your charitable deductions, why in the world would you give? Now, I got a problem with that article. Because that article suggests that we as Christians give so that we can get a tax break. And if you look at giving in that particular way, maybe you need an internal change. Would you still give to the church? Would you still give to the homeless? Would you still give to the orphans if you couldn't deduct it on your taxes? If you are changed internally, then externally, you're going to behave in a much different way than the world acts and behaves. Christians, if we are changed internally, we will behave different than this world. We will not look at things the way the world looks at things. Paul says in Romans chapter 12 and verse 2 that we are to be conformed no longer to the patterns of this world, but to be transformed, to be completely transformed by the renewing of your mind. And then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is. Then you'll be able, right? To be able to test and approve what God's will is, what you're supposed to be doing in this world when you are transformed by the power that is in Jesus Christ. We need, folks, not just a second chance. We need to be made new. And secondly, we need reconciliation. We need reconciliation. Verses 18 through 20 states that God gives us this ministry of reconciliation. Not that we are reconciling ourselves to God. Notice the passive nature of reconciliation here. That God was reconciling the world to himself. God is the agent of reconciliation. We are just the objects that are reconciled to him. We don't do the reconciling. What do? In this equation, we become ambassadors of reconciliation. We become people who proclaim that there is this right relationship, this relationship that's been made whole and perfect through the blood of Jesus Christ. You see how that is more than just a second chance. If someone offends me, I might give them a second chance, right? But I'm still going to hold them off at a distance. If you hurt my feelings or sin against me, I can forgive you, reconcile our relationship, but I might still hold you off at a distance because I may not believe 100% you're not going to do it again. But God doesn't treat us like that. Through the power that's found in Jesus Christ, we have this we become these objects of reconciliation. Our relationship is made whole. So reconciliation is not just a polite ignoring of sin. It's not a reduction of the penalty of sin. It is, in fact, a complete and made whole relationship. This week, I wanted so bad for my kids to go back to school. I said it. I know it was just a 2-hour delay on Friday, but I was like, get on out of school. Come on, go on. I wanted to drop them off 2 hours early and just let them sit on the porch. They got a little cabin fever, okay? They were able to go out a little bit and play in the snow, but they got cold because it was 2 degrees here in Knoxville. They got a little bit of cabin fever. And sure enough, my boys started jumping on the bed. And good night, if you wouldn't believe, that bed broke. Right? Can you believe it? I went in there, and the bed is sitting like this. The bar underneath the bed has these 2 screws that hold the bar together. They had snapped those screws in half, folks. Now, Charlie's a big boy, but come on now. I had to get on them, and there was a consequence for what they had done, but I'm still sitting there with a broken bed. They could say they're sorry. They could try to make it right. I can give them consequences, but I'm still there with a broken bed. And folks, that's the situation we have with God. We can say we're sorry all we want. We can say, God, what I did was wrong, and I'll never do it again. But we still have this broken relationship with God. And through the power that is in Jesus Christ, he who had no sin became sin. And we are now reconciled to him. Paul says elsewhere in Colossians chapter 1, for God was pleased to have his fullness dwell in him, that is Jesus. That through Jesus, to reconcile to himself all things on earth or things in heaven by making peace through his blood. through the cross. Now, thirdly here, we need more than just a second chance with God. We need to be made right because we are so wrong. We are so wrong. And Christ does this amazing thing that I see here in this passage. We not only are made right because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ, but through His resurrection, we actually share in His righteousness. God made Him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. The righteousness of God is Jesus Christ. How in the world are we going to share in that kind of righteousness? I heard a story about a farmer. He had these two ewes who gave birth at the same time. Now, one ewe died while giving birth. The other ewe lost her lamb during birth. And the farmer didn't know what to do. That one lamb needed milk, and this ewe is mourning the loss of a baby. So he put them together, hoping that maybe there would be some kind of connection. And sadly enough, the ewe smelt the lamb that she didn't know, and she didn't want to have anything to do with it. And the farmer had this weird idea to take the coat off of the dead lamb and put it on top of the alive baby lamb and put him in the pen. And you know, that mama smelt her baby and was able to nurse that lamb. This story is near perfect illustration of Christ's sacrifice. But here's where it falls short. Christ's sacrifice does not trick God into thinking we're good. Christ's sacrifice does not cover us in such a way that we appear good, that we smell good to God. We're actually share in His righteousness. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 30, Paul writes, "It is because of Him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God, that is, our righteousness, our holiness, and our redemption." When I said there were no second chances with God, I saw a couple of you squirm. I squirmed a little writing it down. I've just never heard it that way. I always thought, well, God gave me a second chance when I became a Christian. But He did so much more. He did so much more. He gave you new life. Made you an ambassador. You are a living example of reconciliation. And He has made you righteous to share with the righteousness of Christ. For that we give Him glory, praise that is due His name. And this morning I want to offer that if anyone has not accepted that, more than second chance, today's the day to do it. Let's stand together as we pray. Father, thank You so much for Your Son, Jesus Christ. We are thankful for the sacrifice He made so that we were given more than a second chance. Thank You for new life that is found in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Thank You for the righteousness that You give us through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Thank You for reconciling our broken relationship due to our sin. We give You the glory and honor that You deserve. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.